I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's official. Barack Obama will be the next president of the United States. The Electoral College met yesterday. We will talk to one of the electors about what it was like. That's in just a few minutes. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to continue a conversation we had last week about parenting books. Last week, we invited two very different authors, both men, to talk about their two newly published books. But we decided that the whole issue of parenting books deserved more attention, especially as the holidays approach and books are always a popular gift. So we decided to ask two of our mom's regulars to look on their shelves for their favorite books. Jolene Ivey, a regular Tell Me More contributor, is co-founder of the Mocha Moms Parenting Support Group, and Dia Michaels, who also works in the publishing industry, decided to tell us what books they thought should be on every parent's gift list. Ladies, moms, welcome.
Hey, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Dia, what do you look for in a parenting book? And I should mention that your company, Platypus Media, publishes them, but none of the books you're recommending today are published by your imprint. So I just want to be sure that everybody knows that.
Right.
So what do you look for in a book for yourself as a mom and also to publish?
What's important to me is that the book not have a dogmatic tone. I don't want anyone telling me that unless I do this, there'll be dire consequences. So it's important to me that the author is a relaxed author, that they tell me, you know, how to think about something, how to phrase something. And even more important than that, I want the book grounded in science. I want it looked at from a child development point of view. I don't just want someone's opinion.
I want to play a short clip from our conversation last week where I asked you about the two books we were talking about. One of the books was by Steve Doocy. He's the author of Tales from the Dad Side. It's a kind of a memoir about his time as a parent. We also had on author Brett Burke, who wrote The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting. Dia, your reaction to Brett's book. Let's just say when I asked if you liked the book, well, let's just listen.
Uh-oh, that's a long pause.
That's a long pause.
We may have to retape that. I think the most useful advice is Brett talking about that kids need boundaries and parents need to be in charge.
That's just a little piece of the exchange, but Dia, clearly there was something that you were hating. So what was it?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that because I've had a week to think about it. I think what bothered me about the book is that it was all his opinion. And one of the things that Brett said in his book in the breastfeeding section is that he has a rule about breastfeeding. 2 breasts, 2 years. Well, it's a nice alliteration. It may work for some people. But the fact of the matter is, some children are perfectly happy weaning early, and some are perfectly happy continuing longer. And the rule in breastfeeding is as long as it's mutually compatible for mom and baby. So I don't need someone who's never breastfed, who's never studied breast milk, and who's never looked into the science of human lactation saying 2 breasts, 2 years.
Well, I will say, though, he does have 2 degrees in early childhood development. He's been the head of a preschool. He has extensive experience working with young children, but he's not a parent, and he's certainly not a woman, but is that what pushes your buttons? I mean, do you feel that, is it more the tone? I don't want to pick on him because he's not here.
Right.
So I don't want to spend too much time
on
that. But is it, but just over, I guess what I'm saying, overall, what is it that you feel puts you off? Is it tone? Is it matching credentials to the topic at hand? Or you feel that if you're not a mom, you should just stay out of some areas altogether?
No, I feel like you should know what you're talking about other than being your opinion. So, for instance, Brett's book, like many, many others, has the dire consequences. If your baby's not off the bottle at 1, not out of a stroller by 2, not out of diapers by 3, not finished, you know, thumb sucking, then X, Y, and Z will go wrong. So having rules about these things and being told that there's something wrong with you if you're not following the rules really bothers me.
Julie, what do you look for in a parenting book?
I look for something that makes sense, that doesn't dictate to me this is how you should raise your child. But more, here are some observations, here's some philosophies, here are some things you can look for. I don't believe that somebody else knows better than I do, generally speaking, how to raise my child.
So tone is very important to
you.
Very
important.
If it takes this kind of didactic, this is how it is, believe it or get the hell out kind of approach, you're not interested.
I won't pass that along to anyone.
So one of your suggestions is T. Barry Brazelton's Infants and Mothers, Differences in Development.
Yes, I really like this book. It's a classic. And what I appreciate about it is he definitely says the mother knows best about her child. She knows what's going on with her kid. If there's something wrong, he says, trust your instincts. And he takes three different children and watches their development for a year. So month by month, you get to hear about a quiet child, an active child, and an average child. That way, when you are a new mom and you don't know what you're doing, you don't feel confident, you see that your kid fits somewhere in the continuum of what is normal. You don't think there's something weird wrong with your child because he's doing something faster or slower than other children.
But what if there is something
wrong, you know,
that demands attention? Sometimes there are developmental markers that are really important to bring to the attention
absolutely.
Of a professional. So it can work both ways. So
yeah.
Trusting your instincts also doesn't mean ignoring professional
absolutely.
Advice. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jolene Ivey and Dia Michaels, the moms, about parenting books that they think should make your gift list. So you had your reservations about last week's picks. I'm going to defend them, though. I still thought they were really interesting. I personally think that you should always take these books with a grain of salt, just because I think, like Jolene said, you've got to see what makes sense to you within the context of your culture, within the context of the culture of your family, and so forth. Like that. But let's hear one of yours. You have a classic, Our Babies, Ourselves, How Biology and Culture Shape the Way We Parent. What'd you like about this book?
Oh, I love this book. This book was written by an evolutionary biologist, Meredith Small. She's up at Cornell. And what she does is she says Western parents parent very, very differently than the entire rest of the world. It's really fascinating to think about. It comes down to one word, and that word is crying. What do people do when the baby cries? And you have, you know, the Dr. Ferbers of the world that tell you to ignore it. We have Dr. Watson was a famous child advice person before Dr. Spock came on the scene. And he said, you know, ignore your child's cries. And so the question is, what is crying signaling and how do parents respond? Now, babies cry for the same reason adults cry. Babies cry either because they are hurt physically or emotionally, or they need something. And so do we interpret that as the baby's trying to manipulate us and we have to put that baby in its place? Or do we interpret that as this is the time to respond? And what you find in other cultures is babies don't cry. And in those cultures, there are four things that distinguish them. All families co-sleep, so the baby's never sleeping alone. Babies are carried all the time. Babies are picked up whenever they have any distress. And babies breastfeed at will. I find it fascinating seeing how other cultures work, how they solve problems. And the step beyond the crying is the village, that women in other cultures aren't raising children alone, and they have the resources, the people, and the support to see how children are raised and how to respond.
Okay. Actually, what I'm hearing from you two say is that really there is no book that should be on every parent's gift list, because every book is not for every parent. Is that right, Jolene?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another one I'd like to give a little print to today, so to speak, is the Mocha Manual. It is by Kimberly Seals Allers. And what I love about this book is it gives some attention to things going on in the African American community as far as health disparities, how the different kinds of health care treatment you're going to get depending on your race. And how, since it's so different, Black women need to be aware when they're pregnant, especially different steps they need to take and stay on top of things, because their doctor may not pay attention to the same things for that person. Maybe not intentionally, but statistically, that's what happens.
Dia, what's your other book that you want to recommend?
Actually, I wanted to disagree with something you did say, which is there is no book that should be on everyone's shelf, because we need books, because we don't have the huge village and we don't have access to all the information. So I picked The Baby Book, Everything You Need to Know About Your Baby from Birth to Age 2 by Dr. William Sears. And the book is so warm and friendly, but there are things parents don't know. When should their child be walking? When do you start solid foods? When do you call the emergency room? And I think it's important to have a book that's readable and friendly that you can look up. I mean, The Baby Book, it is thick. It's, what, 2 inches thick? But it's got everything that you need, because babies don't come with instructions.
Neither one of you still has an infant or a baby or young child at home. Do you still find yourself looking at parenting books at this stage of your lives as parents?
I have to admit that I really don't, not anymore. I mean, boy, I've got a 19-year-old and a 9-year-old almost. I've got three in between those two. If I don't know how to raise kids at this point, I don't know what to do. But, you know, beyond that, I think that it's one of the things I'm good at.
I have one to throw in to the list, if I may. It's called Becoming Dad, Black Men and the Journey to Fatherhood. It's by the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Leonard Pitts Jr., and it's a collection of essays by and about the experience of African-American fathers. And I think this is the kind of book. Now, I'm African-American, but I'm not a man, and I'm not a father, but I found it so moving and so, it's just very hard for me to describe how powerful it was to understand just how deeply many men care about being a father and how much it means to them to try to get it right, whatever that means. And I just think that there are not a lot of works that really honor the role of father in the way that this does, and also talks about the real world struggles that. So I think this book is particularly meaningful to African-American men, and also I think perhaps Latino men. But I think many men would relate to this book and the way it honors the role and also doesn't shy away from the very real challenges
and Michelle,
of being a father.
Don't tell Glenn, but that's actually something that's on my Christmas list to get for him, because I've heard about that book. I hear it's fabulous. And I really think that even though he is also a father with a lot of experience under his belt, this is one that I think would kind of reaffirm him as a father. It might make him feel good to read.
So you want me to not tell him?
Don't tell him. He doesn't listen. He doesn't have time to listen to the radio.
What's it worth to you? Just kidding. Jolene Ivy and Dia Michaels joined us from our studios in Washington. They're two of our Mom's regulars. Dia Michaels is also the founder and president of Platypus Media, which publishes parenting books. But I want to emphasize, none of the titles we talked about today are published by her imprint. We will have all of these parenting picks on our website, which you can find at the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Ladies Moms, thank you again.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Glad to be here.